This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
As I have said repeatedly, we need to turn the temperature down in this country. We need to turn it right down. Right down. Right down.
Dangerous.
Right down.
Dangerous.
Right down.
Dangerous.
We need to turn the temperature down.
We need to turn the temperature down. Temperature down. Temperature down.
As I have said repeatedly, turn the temperature down.
Hello and welcome to Uprise Radio. My name is Koshin.
My name is Zan.
And we are back together on the airwaves after a couple of solo episodes.
It's wild to think that it's been almost 2 months without a collective uprise.
Do you want to introduce that phenomenal piece of music?
This was a piece inspired by Koshin, who recommended two pieces of political audio commentary from Albanese and Mamdani that at 6 a.m. this morning I decided to put my trance techno habits to some purpose. So I made a song out of it.
It's phenomenal. That's teamwork. One person says one quick message into WhatsApp, and one person spends multiple hours doing all of the labor, and you both get to share in the fruits of it.
No, it gave me great political purpose this morning, so thank you.
Well, today we are talking about a slightly less rosy subject than the intro would have you believe. We're going to go over the recent state visit from President Herzog, the president of Israel, to Australia, and the events leading up to it, what happened while he was here, and what we're seeing already from the fallout from this confusing political move by the federal Labor government to invite this individual at this time to this country. Don't know why they would do this.
And to have to change the legal system in order to do so.
Yeah, yeah. Have to pull out a lot of, you know, special powers. I guess we'll get right in with the lead up to the event. Albanese extended an invitation through the Governor General to the Israeli president, and his reasoning for it was that he said he is primarily here to provide comfort, for people who not only need it but they deserve it. He said that Herzog was coming to offer sympathy and solidarity to people who are mourning, and offer his support to members of Australia's Jewish community. This is obviously in the wake of the Bondi attack on the Jewish community last year. That was the official justification, and it was discussed as an apolitical visit, essentially, that it was purely an exercise in mourning, and that it was not going to be exactly what it was, which was a meeting with a high-level representative of the State of Israel.
Which is wild, considering it's also a trip to foster relations between Australia and Israel, which seems like quite a political thing to do.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a very apolitical trip while he was here.
I also just don't think that politicians can say that anything they do is apolitical.
Yeah, seems like they would be they'd be off the list of people who are allowed to claim that. I think
you've chosen your path, yeah, and it's clearly political.
By the nature of your position, everything you do is going to be political. I don't know.
But I guess that thread also runs through the amount of times that the phrasing, you know, that was taken out of context was used. Mm. The idea of what can be political and in what specific context things need to be noticed in came up a lot during this trip, and it was really frustrating.
Yeah. And even before he arrived, there was a build-up of controversy. There were a lot of articles talking about, you know, whether or not there was going to be chaos. Chris Minns was making a lot of statements, the New South Wales Premier, about, the need to bring in new special police powers. He designated Sydney a major event while Herzog was in town, because he said that they needed special powers in order to prevent the huge waves of thousands of rioters that he was saying were going to come. So even in the lead up, people were, you know, there was already a clear expectation. It was the most predictable response that there would be public backlash to Herzog coming to this country.
Which again is a wild contradiction if part of the messaging around this trip is around unity and social cohesion. If that can only happen with new carceral laws being brought in to enforce social order, doesn't really feel like that's therefore a move that is fostering social cohesion at all.
Yeah, yeah. I think the line that was going around that summed it up the best was that the beatings will continue until social cohesion improves. And I think that really sums up this trip, that it was that what social cohesion is was really put on display, that social cohesion really just means not criticizing Israel publicly. That's what they mean when they say that.
And enforced state-sanctioned violence.
Yeah, yeah. The lead up, the media coverage in the lead up was, really talked a lot about how there was this, you know, inevitable backlash, but not a lot of coverage on, you know, exactly who Herzog is or what, you know, what Israel's doing, why people would be upset with the head of state of Israel coming. Or if they did, they tried to balance it out with you know, two contrasting opinions.
Albanese had some clear PR post-it notes around mentioning that President Herzog was kind of the equivalent of the Governor General, and noting that he is not a member of the Netanyahu government, instead he's the head of state, which was frustrating to see, as if that kind of shirks Herzog of all accountability and also Albanese of accountability of inviting this person.
I've been thinking it through, because he is not the equivalent of the Governor General. He's the head of state of Israel. He's clearly the equivalent of the King, King Charles, which is an absurdity that also, I don't know, needs to be talked about every day, that the head of this country is technically a foreign king who sits on a throne in England.
Every episode we will mention the absurdity.
We are going to come back to this every 2 weeks, because it is, you know, I think, I don't know, something's got to get done about that. But I think there was a clear decision made that if you say he's the equivalent to the king, that makes him sound very important. The Governor General is not our head of state. The Governor General represents our head of state in this country. And I think the reason they picked the Governor General was just that no one really cares about the governor. You know, most people don't even know who the Governor General is. It just makes Herzog seem like an obscure political figure and not someone who is enormously important in Israeli politics and who represents the country.
And I think that also kind of backfired. I feel like everyone knows who Herzog is now, given the response.
Yeah.
And I also think the, not justification, the kind of sidestepping of justification when Albanese was mentioning that Herzog is the equivalent of the Governor General, he follows it by saying, you know, I understand that people feel very strongly about the Middle East, which, yeah, just leaves the huge elephant in the room of not instead saying, I understand that people feel very strongly about genocide and war crimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a strange kind of just deferral to, like, this idea that there's, like, an obsession with the Middle East as a region, and not
just
that
there might be statement.
Something important happening there that maybe people are, you know, motivated by and feel an obligation that their government should change their foreign policy towards, you know, a genocidal state who at every point has been backed by our government and bipartisanly. You know, like, no, there's just no recognition that that could be a factor in this. So that's a real quick run through on the lead up. And then, of course, the police in New South Wales have their special post-terror attack powers, where they're allowed to restrict protests. That was extended to include the visit from Herzog, and then abruptly dropped on Monday, which this Monday, 2 days ago.
What a coincidence of timing.
If they were trying to make it seem like that wasn't a rule that was especially brought in just for Herzog's trip, they didn't do a very good job of covering it up, because it really does seem like the second he left, they had no need for those restrictions anymore and they went away.
Yeah, it was said that Minns was asked on Tuesday what other factors were that kind of caused those restrictions to be placed, and he didn't cite anything other than Herzog's visit. But in doing so, Herzog's visit was never said to be the cause of the restrictions being placed. And those restrictions also, while giving the police a lot more power, the restrictions also hamper the ability of protesters to sue the state for alleged police brutality, which is, again, very convenient.
Yeah, which is the point of these things. I mean, yeah, the point of bringing in all these special powers is to you know, come down as hard as you want with total impunity. And I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens in the future. Maybe there will be consequences for this, but I would be surprised, honestly. I really think that, yeah, I mean, this was the point. And I think that, yeah, it's going to go the way that they hope it'll go.
It's also just terrifying that there can be such an increase in power and no necessary increase in accountability, that one can just rise and the other one just seems to actually go down.
Mm.
And that's just how laws are made and rushed through, is kind of terrifying.
Yeah. And speaking of accountability, there were many calls for an investigation to be opened by the AFP, Federal Police, if Herzog were to come to this country. And in the lead up to the event, the AFP told Parliament that there was no active investigation into Herzog and that he enjoyed full immunity as the head of state of Israel. So
vaccinated against all accountability. Yeah, no worries.
No, I don't know. Yeah, not exactly putting a lot of faith into, you know, our duty to international law or any kind of, I don't know, we're not exactly upholding our values as guardians of international law. Do you want to go through day one of the trip?
Yeah, and maybe we'll also just mention briefly kind of reasons why the community was in such strong opposition to Herzog being here. And there were calls for his arrest over allegations that he's incited genocide in Gaza. That was from a UN Special Commission of Inquiry in 2025 that found that there were particular comments that he'd made that, while did not expressly cause or call for the genocide of Palestinians in Gaza, may reasonably be interpreted as incitement. And while someone like Netanyahu is subject to arrest warrants from kind of international law and the ICC, Herzog is not. But even though Australia may not have international obligations to arrest him, there was still a huge opposition to him being here. Hence, the importance of rallying all across the country.
Mm.
So, day one, Herzog visits the site of the Bondi attack and makes political claims affirming Israel's illegal territorial claims, which are, to quote, "I laid two stones at Bondi Beach that I brought with me from the holy city of Jerusalem, from the land of Israel. These stones from Jerusalem, the eternal city, the eternal capital of Israel." Again, claiming this as apolitical is feeling very, the ground's feeling thin.
It just, it was astonishing to me that it was the beginning of the first public statement. Immediately there were political comments. I mean, he instantly began affirming his position on Israel's
land claims.
Yeah, claim to the entirety of the city of Jerusalem. That's, you know, illegal under international law. Australia has never recognized that. We haven't moved our embassy to Jerusalem like some other countries have. So it's a controversial, it's a controversial thing to say. And it was the beginning. That was the first thing that was said publicly.
This coincided therefore with protests in Sydney against Herzog. And he also gave a speech in Sydney. And then day two comes Canberra with an intimate dinner with Albanese, who we heard from at the start of this episode.
Yeah, I put it this. I wrote a note in this Google Doc poorly, but I just think it's very important to note that on that Tuesday, one of the comments that Albanese made was that Herzog was the head of state of the Australian Jewish community, and
he's therefore a nobody and a somebody at the same time.
I don't know if that's you know, a mix up in the words or if that's exactly what he meant, but. Like, that's such an absurd comment, and under any other circumstances would be an anti-Semitic comment to make, to claim that the Jewish community in Australia have a separate head of state. I mean, no, their head of state, like ours, is unfortunately King Charles, this, you know, this old man in England. Like, that's, if if you're an Australian citizen, that's who your head of state is. It was so strange to me that Albanese made that comment and that it wasn't very controversial and wasn't brought up very much. Yeah, that's not a normal thing for someone to say.
All I can say about day two intimate dinner is that I truly hope that they had a very bland and cold and awkward dinner.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it was reheated leftovers. Yeah.
Day three, there's a tour of Parliament, a meeting with Suzanne Leigh and Albanese, and then a stop off to Naam. There are protests at Government House where Herzog meets with Jacinta Allen and Margaret Gardner.
That's Victoria's governor, our representative of the king.
And there were a lot of protests in Naam centered around Flinders Street and both large displays of discontent and a march through the city.
Yeah, so that, and then he basically quickly made his way to the airport after a few hours in Melbourne and flew away back to, I think he flew to Jerusalem, I think is what I read.
And said he felt energized afterwards.
Yeah, which is a strange, yeah, anyway, we'll move past that. But yeah, so the trip wrapped up in Melbourne. I'm sure a lot of people, if you're listening to this, would be aware of that, that there was quite a large protest on Thursday. And I think, you know, not a lot of nice things to say about this trip, which was a display of, I think we have to say allegations of excessive force by the police and, you know, many other things, and seeing our politicians all affirm their stance in support of Israel. But I do think one of the positives, one of the victories that came out of it was that we really did, really did show in strength in Melbourne that the government wasn't able to move a guest around freely, that Herzog was not able to cross the Yarra River into the CBD. He was...
I hope we left him in huge traffic jams.
Yeah. I actually did see a video of him moving around the freeway. They really were shutting down traffic. It looked like he was not in a traffic jam, but it caused a lot of traffic jams. But yeah, I think that's something that we should all feel some level of pride over, that for, you know, multiple years of sustained protest has led to a feeling that, that there really is a presence so strong in Melbourne that it can't just be moved out, not to denigrate our comrades in Sydney who were subject to some, you know, very extreme pressure, but that the same action wasn't taken in Melbourne, I think shows something. And it shows something good, I think, a strength in the movement.
Yeah, and I think there can be both. It's definitely a very complicated feeling to hold, but thinking about the wins that I have, or like the moves forward that the resistance has, while also feeling a great anger and grief around the extreme violence and brutality that's been experienced, and seeing the state responses, and thinking of all of the comrades and people in solidarity that have had to experience that violence is, yeah, really heart-wrenching.
Mm. There's been some fallout so far. I mean, there's definitely been a lot of political embarrassment. I think that's the main thing that's been felt. And I think that's on display with kind of a change in some of the language being used. Chris Minns in New South Wales was really talking up his control of the police in the lead up, saying that he was really, you know, that he was instructing them to put down the protests. I think he said afterwards a similar sort of comment, but then after a few days, when people were very unhappy with how the police behaved towards the protesters in Sydney, he's suddenly saying like, oh, the police are actually a separate branch of government. That's actually totally independent. I don't have any control over the police. And I think it shows, you know, that there's not a lot of pride in what happened in the political establishment. I think they are quite embarrassed about what was shown.
Well, his only justification so far has been saying the protest has created an impossible situation, as if that just kind of puts it outside the train of logic at all to even consider.
Yeah.
And that also goes alongside not wanting an independent inquiry to be launched, and also not wanting to give a public apology regarding the allegations of Islamophobia.
Yeah, and I think the images of people praying in Sydney and being picked up and pushed onto the ground by the police. I think that really is, I don't know how you can defend that or come back from that. I think that's evidence of a level of, at a minimum, a complete disregard for any kind of, I don't know, sanctity around religious expression, and at most is a display of Islamophobia that will have to be looked into in the investigation that is going to happen. But I don't know how you get away with that. Like, that's just such an egregious display of something terrible going on.
And how that goes in line with this narrative of social cohesion and this idea of what is to be Australian and what is un-Australian is really horrific if Islamophobia is to be un-Australian.
Yeah, to justify the actions of police against people praying on the ground and picking them up and pushing them on the ground and justifying it by saying that the protesters were being un-Australian is one of the most inflammatory comments I think you could come up with. That's such a bad comment to make. I mean, especially if your whole goal is social cohesion and unity, which is what this trip was supposed to be about. I don't know who thought that this would be a unifying moment. It certainly unified a lot of people in opposition to the trip, but it did not lead to some kumbaya moment where we all thought,
we're in this together.
I'm so thankful that President Herzog is here, the apolitical, now.
Apolitical unifier.
Now we can all, it's just so ridiculous. Yeah.
I think another thing to note is that there has been a private prosecution filed in Australia against Herzog for genocide and crimes against humanity, and that's being submitted to the government by the Hein Rajab Foundation, the Jewish Council of Australia, and the Australian National Imams Council, and that's concerning the conduct of Isaac Herzog. So really hope that there is further investigation and commentary and discourse around this, and that it doesn't just become this thing that heads of state can get away with no accountability.
It does feel like something shifting as a final comment. Like, the polling shows that Labor federally and at the state level, where they're in government, New South Wales and Victoria and South Australia, the polling shows that they're getting less and less popular at the same time that all of those premiers are throwing in with Israel, and it just seems like it can't go on. I mean, yeah, there will be consequences at a minimum electorally, and I think, yeah, that's something for another episode. We need to get organized. So we raced through that, I think. I forgot to hit my subscriber drive community service announcement, so I will do one on the fly now and just remind everyone that if you're listening, to please become a 3CR subscriber. It's very important for the station, and it does a lot of good things, and you get a lot of good things out of it.
Helps us to stay on air yapping every fortnight into your ears.
Yeah, if you want to keep this up, and you gotta subscribe.
And we need it for our sanity as well. So you're doing it for us as well.
Yeah, it's just the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do, and I'm not doing a good job of pitching this. I actually thought that we had 30 seconds, but we actually had 90 seconds. So just yapping a little bit now. Do you have a song you want to play us out?
I do. This is not really a lyrical political song, but I think it's a banger, and I think it's necessary after the chat we had. It's Future Retro by Pugilist.
Okay, I'll see you all next time.
Ciao.
Thank you. favorite sounds out of the past.